Okay, welcome back, everybody. This is James Martinez back. We are again here with Virginia, hopefully still online. Ion, Bob Neverett, and Dr. Carolyn Dean. As you were, Virginia. Great to hear your story, by the way. Great.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, anyway, I think I said everything I needed to say, but thank you so much for everything, and let's go on to other comments.
No, hold
but
it.
Thank
hold
you.
It.
I,
they aren't going to let you
hold
leave
it.
That fast.
I think you got something to say.
Yeah, this Council of Nicaea, I wanted to go into it a little bit, because I don't understand how, as you say, Ion, a group of illiterate folks decided what should be in the Bible. So can you tell us who was around the table and what happened?
Oh, yeah. See, you started stirring in the Roman Emperor Constantine the First, and once they then he started electing bishops, Christian bishops. Okay, and then that becomes, they had to vote to decide if Jesus was indeed the Christ first, because there was lots of talk about that. Then it becomes an ecumenical council, a voted group, placated to set the pecking order of what would be an opened and a closed canon. There are many other books that were to be, that were up for vote, but they didn't get an Academy Award, and because they didn't get their Emmy, then they didn't make the Holy Scriptures because of this group that were voting. Now, granted, in this bishopdom, you had many, many translations of the books that were being brought forth that were set to make the at bar what was going to be included and what was not. And most of those translations, they weren't privy to read, understand. So it became a political play to set the Holy Scriptures.
Okay, Ion, the Constantine is in the normal history 330 A.D. around then. You say the Council of Nicaea happened in 70 A.D. So you're saying Constantine lived a few years after Jesus? The third Jesus?
There's no years. Constantine the First.
Yeah, there is, most people, when they hear Ion say that the Nicene editing of the books happened in around 70 A.D., they go, no, that's 325 A.D. Well, for the first time, you've mentioned Constantine the First, and he, if I understand it, is 325 A.D. So what's the contradiction here? Are you saying that
they're dealing with the Arians, the reason that they had the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene Creed was they were trying to combat Arius, was a heresy name for Arian, which was way before 325. It's A.D., B.C., D.D.
Okay, no. You're saying that the Nicene Council organized it a few years, like 30 years after Jesus passed, the third Jesus. Are you changing that now?
No. It was an ongoing thing. We just don't do the time thing that you do.
It's an ongoing editing?
No, Bob. If you're going to do all the different verbs.
Okay, I got you.
But that's the wrong rabbit hole.
No, it's not clear what you're saying here. You're saying
that there's no time, and every time you try to pin it to time, you find yourself woefully inadequate. So we're not embracing the time. Call it what you want.
So you say don't even read the Bible. It's a product of time.
No, we didn't say that. We said read it as it's written, get it straightened out and right, use it for what's being said for those human individual creators who come into their place of power. And if that helps you validate, vindicate your place of power, just like Jesus said, if you don't know how to pray, pray this way. You don't.
No. Look. Wait. Who the heck edited this thing in the first place?
No, let me ask this question first. How many Constantines were there, Ion?
Four.
Okay, but he said Constantine the first.
Well,
see, look.
They could have gotten that mixed up.
Look, Ion.
There were four of those.
Okay. The third Jesus gets crucified. There were four of what? Constantine one?
Yeah. There you go, Bob. It's all about the duplicates.
Yeah. Are you following this, Virginia?
Virginia? I am following it, but I think the thing of it is that you don't have to really go to Constantine or the Council of Nicaea, because if you go to today's Protestant churches, or you go to the Southern Baptist Conference, or you go to the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church, the same behavior is being acted out every single day, including in Rome. The leaders of the church decide how the word is to be interpreted and what it means. And they choose what they're going to teach and how they're going to teach it. And they choose what it means for the people that they're quote-unquote serving. And you're not allowed to stand up and challenge religious authority. It doesn't matter. So you don't have to go to all the way back then. You can stand up and do it right now in the middle of America, because it's still that the behavior is still going on. If you take any word, any part of the Bible, I think what Ion is saying is any religious text, take whatever you want to take. If it empowers you and inspires you, then use it to find your own Godhead, your own deity within. But when it confuses you and conflicts you because they're using their authority as being supreme over your own internal knowing and power, that's when it turns into a problem. And that's happening all day, every day, right now. You don't have to go way back then, because they do it today.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but Carol was asking in the break of me, who were these people? And are you saying, Ion, that they started haggling over the story of Jesus a few moons after he was crucified?
He didn't even get resurrected before they were starting Senate subcommittee.
Okay, so you're saying the arguing over what it meant started real quickly, and it went on for many months, many millions of full moons, always going on, like Virginia's saying.
It says that in the scriptures. If you look at the testimony of Jesus as it's written in the four Gospels, Jesus even said to Peter, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're just a freak in hell. We don't know, but it's cool hanging out with you, and neat stuff happens, so we're just going to keep going. But they didn't know who he was either. So it's not the mystery of who Christ, the thing of it is it's a Christed consciousness, it's a Christed energy, it's a Christed expression of frequency, a level of awareness. It's not necessarily like, and that's why Jesus was saying to Peter, and then of course, like, you know, Ion says, then they go and build the whole church on Peter, who was the most disconnected one.
Okay.
He's like, well, heck.
Well, not to do.
Right.
And then they make the entire Catholic Church based on it.
And then they defend it, and then they crucify others with it if you don't believe what they teach. And that's the big thing, is that the threat, I mean, when you look at duality, heaven and hell is the ultimate right-wrong conversation. And transcending that, I think, is the key to your own personal freedom of being able to know your own power and express it freely and clearly. And when you look at some of the great, quote-unquote, saints, whether it was Martin Luther, who had to walk away from a monastery, or Mother Teresa, modern-day people, or Mahatma Gandhi, these people had to find their own place of power in order to be effective, and they had to get to the point where Ion says, please and delight yourself and stand in your own power, and that's a lot about what this is about.
Yeah, Virginia, when you use the phrase the deity within, and then earlier you quoted me saying the words of your soul, let's say the deity on your skin, because if you think it's within, that's the realm of thought, as we discussed last week, and that's unmanifested. It's in your words. It's not within. Your deity is right on the surface of your skin, so to speak.
Oh, right, right, right.
I suggest,
right. Yeah,
that,
cool.
I suggest that correction to the text.
Dum, dum, dum.
We Southern Baptist Convention and see if they'll approve the change.
No more talk with the deity within. There's a deity on my skin.
Well, you can't just say and get happy in the skin that you're in, so yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's quite interesting. I won't say courageous or inspiring. It's just very fascinating from the human TMZ level.
That's James's word. You can't be stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's forget that.
Very interesting, Virginia. I'll say it's fascinating. That'll be my word. In light of what happened to you in your reading, and then you come public with this, that's a very fun. We'll just say it's fun, Virginia. Your call has been great.
Yeah, thank
great,
you.
Great
well,
job,
thank
Virginia.
You.
Really good.
You guys
I'm
are
appreciate
fun,
you more than you know.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Huh?
Repeat wait. That. I missed what you said.
I said, you're fun too, Bob. Thank you.
Yeah. Any time Carolyn can't make the show, I want Virginia to be first substitute.
Yeah, all right. That'd be great. That's
absolutely
great.
Perfect.
We'll do the Maccabees. That's
going to be right on. Hey, and another really cool thing we could do, which would be the Nag Hammadi. That would be cool, the writings of Thomas.
Yeah.
That would be really fun, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
look at
that
up, Bob.
Yeah, next show, whenever, call in and we'll do the Nag Hammadi. That's the Gnostic Gospels? The Gnostic story?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot, Virginia. Very good.
Great. That was great. Fantastic.
Actually, you know, what you could do is ask Virginia if she wants to do the revelations with you, because I'm no help. I just sit there and...
Carol's just stunned at my acumen and what
I'm... No, I'm stunned that Bob can go on and on and on.
Oh, honey, but there's not a pit of that lemonade been thoroughly go through. When it takes 5 hours to do 2 or 3 chapters, you know it's thorough.
But
the one
oh,
thing
is.
You can't say about it, it is not thorough.
Yes, it is thorough. Yeah, so we'll consider. Maybe we'll have Virginia come in as a guest Bible scholar at some point. That's
absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Great. That'd be great. Absolutely.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, so. I guess she took off.
Okay. All right. Do we have any other callers?
Not any callers, but we got a lot of questions on the board, though. So let's get to
okay.
Ed. Ed, as we know, our good friend Ed at Information Farm, I think this is it. He's asking this, are the bundlings of home mortgages, fraudulent credit ratings, escalating home values, and subsequent collapse of the past few years related to the debt owed to the Chinese people?
Yes. And that'll show up when Sally Mae falls.
Okay, all right. And he goes on to say, Corporate Responsibility Magazine named Sally Mae one of America's 100 best corporate citizens 5 times. What is the current financial state of Sally Mae?
Well, that it made the news, there must be trouble. It's like the radio ad that came on when they had the problem in Russia. They said that the actual quote was, there is no problem in Russia, especially in Chernobyl.
Right,
so if that's
right.
What they're talking about, look out.
Right. And his final question is, what is Sally Mae's relationship to Bank of America?
Well, Sally Mae's job is to handle government paper in backed securities that were bonds, municipalities, And Bank of America has found itself intrinsically entwined in all these Chapter 9 filings where municipalities are filing for bankruptcy. Now, your reference to that would be the parallel to Greece, but it's starting to show up locally. So once that happens from the local side of those municipalities, it becomes, you can't tell one from the other after a second. But if there's a problem, they're going to bump it to this one, and when that gets there, they're going to bump it to that one. When the problem gets there, they bump to that one. So it becomes a domino that's propped up again, the last domino.
The last domino. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Now.
That's the Bank of America, James? Bank of America,
yeah.
The last domino?
Mm.
Or the Sally so May is?
No. BAFA.
Okay. BAFA.
Yeah.
I just want to, you can go on. I just want to say this, James. You may jump over it. Maria from Asturias, your message didn't come through unless you intended the blank message.
Right. That's
well,
a good
maybe
point.
She did. Those are the best ones.
Okay.
Look in your drawer. It's in your drawer.
Maria, it's in your drawer.
Great. So, Maria,
okay.
Let us know.
Okay,
let us know
on.
If that's what you're asking. So, name is our Gugu from Gaga, coming from New York City. Question one, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. Is the relationship between an external God and ourselves a bad romance?
Yes, it can be, because that's what you don't. Some people, if it ain't rough, some people say it's not fun. Yeah, some human creators like it rough. Love is a force field. Take it all, baby. Take it all. And if it ain't rough, then it ain't any fun. That's perfect. You go, Gaga. That's the way to play. Yeah.
That's great. And she goes on, there is much info on the internet about Lady Gaga being a tool of the Illuminati. Non-physical comment on whether this is so.
Illumination for Illuminati.
Well, they're trying to lay authority on a human creator who obviously has come into their individual power.
Mm.
Ask Lady Gaga. She'll tell you everything you want to know, and it won't require any authority.
Yeah.
That opens it up right there.
Okay, I just want to say the person asking this question is Gugu for Gaga, not Gugu from Gaga, Gugu for Gaga. And I just say that, James, in case they're a stickler for how they're introduced.
Yes, of course, yeah. Of course.
We love Gaga, too, so all is well.
Yeah. Well, the other question is Lady Gaga on her power? Obviously, you say she is. Why does non-physical often mention Gaga, Lady Gaga, that is?
Because it's yet another example of how someone that was a bad bar hopping singer all of a sudden goes from zero to hero instantly.
Right.
Almost as an anomaly.
Mm-hmm. So how did she actually, was it YouTube that brought forth that?
It was a leak. It was a leak. She got offered third rate stand in a little German concert, and there were a little byline or a little mistake that was not supposed to get leaked out under penalty of death. Don't leak it out, because that was the only byline that they had, was this catchy little tune called Bad Romance, and somebody accidentally slipped it, and before she got back home, she was superstar.
So that's what did it. She's a YouTube winner. Yeah. Okay. Ruben in Miami. My question to Ion. According to the latest ATLA web bot report, my dyslexia here, are just days apart of major traumatic events in the U.S. that include massive evacuations and death due to, quote, toxic winds. Based on an impressive track of accurate predictions by web bot, what's Ion's take on such events to occur in the near future?
Webbot. Is that where non-physical starts interacting with the chip body? It starts to take on a life of its own, Bob?
Yeah, well, some people think that. The resident node guy, Cliff, not resident node, I'm half human. Half human, Cliff High, is either similar to the Webbot report or same technique or different or the same guy. I don't know. You're asking me if the chip body takes over, then the non-physical is no longer contributing?
No. if the non-physical can interact with one of Bob's bastard babies, the chip body, doesn't that mean, isn't that what, now we're going to go back to the scriptures, and everybody's sighing because they thought, crap, we thought we got done with the Holy Roman scriptures, but isn't that what the Bible's talking about, saying if you don't come into your power, the rocks are going to cry out? The rocks are going to cry out. The rocks are going to start taking over. This power is flowing. And if you don't start taking advantage of it, it's going to be flown through web bot, flowing words of word search through the Old Testament of the Bible code and the codex and every other dynamic that you want to twist and twirl and twin into, that it's going to start showing up. The power is being offered. And if you deny that place of power, it's going to start showing up because the power is coming anyway. The power's coming anyway. So we find it very interesting the way they've laid out the question. Now, any other way it was asked, we'd say, not so much. But the way that they're bouncing this with this interaction of this constant cohesive flow of power, not everyone's having to depend on WebBot on whether or not to have a bowel movement today. But if that's the case, if you can't find your power any other way, we thoroughly suggest that you embrace WebBot, and they'll clean it all up for you. But once you come into your place of power, you'll find that is the example of the exception of how non-physical, because you're the human creator, and you separated from your power in the first place, and you put it in a big old gold box and called it the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, and then you're the one that put up the veil to separate you from that box because you couldn't contain or trust yourself with your place of power that you gave up to get it there. Then you rent that veil in two, and then you cause that separation, and now you thin that veil, being just inordinately emaciated in this technological dream coat of this superpower, super place of knowing all past, present, future in your now, and delineating it through your kingdoms and bringing yourself back into your place of power. So on every hand, every way you gaze your eyes, you witness the miracle working power of marvelous human creators. And you decide, but nope, not for me. Nope, I ain't having it. I ain't having it. I ain't having it. It's no wonder that WebBot would show up and straighten it out for you. Because you get on your looky box now. You get on your looky box now to see how you're feeling.
Right.
Get on the looky box for them to tell you how you're supposed to feel.
Right. Right. So when you talked about the non-physical merging with the chip body, you're saying that the chip body is replacing the non-physical for people.
No, Bob. It's another example of if the looky box can do it and humans created the looky box, what's wrong with you?
Oh, okay. So what do you make of these predictions of massive evacuations?
Yeah.
Well, we've been going over it and over and over and over and over, and that it's up to the individual human creator, and that it's caused by the pressurization. Human creators want oil, and now you got a Gulf full of it. They've capped it. Oh, and there's terrible news from bipolar petroleum. It's not working out so good. And they cried and cried, and they'd hoped for so much more. This was the jerry rig that was going to work of all jerry rigs. They were going to get it this time. Well, they put the cap on it. They put a glove on it, and oops, somebody may get pregnant.
Okay, so the... So for you read someone who's making predictions, and all you have to do is say, well, that, how would that relate to me?
Bob, clean it up now. You're better than this. Now, this is not your first rodeo. They're making dictions.
They're making diction, yeah, not prediction. They're making diction.
Right. They're making diction and then calling it prediction.
Ah.
They're validating it. They cause the disease so they can have the cure. That's predicting. But if you have diction, if you don't have the diction, if you don't name it as cancer, then you don't have to come up with why you're less than because you caught it.
Yeah, if you name it, you have an alibi. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. But that's okay. Don't you worry. It won't be very many moons until you can call Dr. Carolyn Dean and get it all taken care of.
All right.
We suggest you make an appointment because their schedule certainly will fill.
Okay. Yeah. So you want to go on to the next point?
Quickly.
Yeah.
Someone says, oh, my God, hurry up. Get out of this. Ryan's doing it again. Stop it. Then, this is where Roseanne Dana and non-physical would say, oh, Dr. Carolyn Dean, the answer, oh, never mind.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Okay, Taze in Michigan. Ion, how about talking about a new method of creating abundance with mutual reciprocity as the journey of the gods?
Okay, what does mutual reciprocity mean? Carolyn, that's one of your words.
Yeah. Well, reciprocity is mutual, right?
Well, and that's why we asked the question, because there might be something that we're trying to get in here. And we love Tiny because she's spot on. And typically her words are she gets how important and valuable use of the correct proper words are. So we don't confuse those hanging on the fringe or sitting on the fence that have to have validation from what's coming about. We want you to clear up mutual reciprocity so that we don't send them spiraling into that halo that Virginia was talking about earlier.
Okay, Ion, here is reciprocity. The quality or state of being reciprocal, mutual dependence, you're not going to like that word, mutual dependence, action, or influence. So action, we don't take action, or influence. We don't influence anything but ourselves. And the second definition, a mutual exchange of privileges, specifically.
I got more power than you. So
that's right.
Mutual reciprocity. You'll give me as much power as I give you.
Yeah.
Now we've cleaned it up. Thank you, Carolyn. And so, therefore, the words are very, very precise because this brings up the key point. If you come into your place of power, mutual reciprocity wouldn't be a moot point. Mm-hmm. Because when you come into your place of power, then you design how you want it to be. Now, if you're using mutual reciprocity of you come into your place of power and you plant a vegetable garden and you have an abundance of vegetables, the harvest, the field is white, you have an abundance, and you take a mutual reciprocity and you take your extra vegetables and fruit and you share it with your neighbor, that's just being kind. But don't confuse that with, I'll give you my cucumbers if you'll give me your pears off your fruit trees. Okay? Because then you're just talking about interstate commerce. So mutual reciprocity, as we're describing it here, if it's a dependence, well, I've got to raise all these vegetables because she won't give me her figs if I don't give her my squash, then you're screwed. Okay? So mutual reciprocity, as you're describing. Now, you may want to clean this up a bit because there's always a good point because you don't just strayly start having projectile verbal vomiting. You always have a point, and we're with you. But we're cleaning up this mutual reciprocity because it becomes not a benefit, it becomes a limiter. It's a qualifier that then would validate you having not as much power as necessary because she may have more pears than you have squash. And if that's the case, then that puts your authority more important than the power to enjoy the squash. But if you're just sharing freely because of your abundance that you have more than you can even press down, chicken together, consume, and you would like to share it, wonderful. But there's just as much gratification as someone who takes the squash and throws them in the garbage because they don't want anybody else having anything to say about their squash. Same thing, same song, same verse. It's no problem. There is no waste.
Mm. Okay, Tina Falls. What?
Good. That's okay. We knew she would.
Yeah, Tina follows up by saying, listening and hearing are the two conversations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and then that hearing sparks diction. So if that duality of conversation brings you closer into your spasmodic place of engaging your place of power and your words are validating your place of power, then the ocular lobe, your ocular ball, eyeball that's connected to the ocular nerve will start convincing your labyrinth of your mind that the words coming out of your mouth that you can hear are cross-balancing a larger place of allowing power to be found or seat of authority through power, not authority. See, we talk about the seat of authority, but that doesn't have anything to do with power. That's just what they call it. But they get tangled up with the difference between engaging authority to manifest power. Never works that way. President Obama is the most authoritative person on the planet, but he's the one that turns out with the least power. Joe the plumber's got more power than President Obama.
Yeah, that's right.
He says how his day is going to go.
Okay.
Right.
And Tina follows up with, what does one do when she and others hear two of her voices simultaneously while she is speaking? I think she's referring to Virginia.
Pull a cork. Enjoy it. The party.
Okay, and hearing songs that provide information for me has become ordinary in my day.
Yes, of course. The song, but see, the difference, though, with you, the difference with you, Taze, is that you don't look for the songs find you. See, we had to clear that up because folks would say, oh, well, if I just go play with the YouTubes, then the message will come through the chip body of non-physical flowing through my chip body because I can't really get all my power, but I'll take the power that's being represented here because of this modest manifestation. Oh, better hang on.
Yeah, yeah.
We may rip one here, Bob, but easy. We'll comment down to start with. If you can't get your power, maybe I can borrow the power from the chip body.
Yeah, James.
Well, Bob.
Go ahead.
Bob invented these bastard babies, and we got to make those illegitimate children something validated. So we'll have to validate them, and we'll have non-physical surging through that chip body and show all the marvelous creators that this power is available to one and to all and everybody that gets access. Even the poor people's got Internet providers now, Bob. It's great.
Yeah, James, Ian, when he rants, is an example of verbal shredding.
Oh, I like it. I like the. That's where all the good stuffs are in the rant. I love the rants.
Right. No, I was listening to an old show, and when you first heard Zappa, you said, "Oh, that's good shredding. It's a type of guitar playing."
Yeah, shredding.
I'm thinking of Ion as a verbal shredder.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just in passing, Kelly in Maui sends much love and aloha, everyone. That's Kelly, who used to show up in tailgate.
Ah, okay. Barbara in California is asking about the BP oil capping the well. Will it work or will it cause too much pressure, the capping of the well?
We already said that somebody's going to be able to get pregnant. It didn't work. They're real sorry.
Not going to work.
Barbara says, what will be the end result? Well, they've already have they announced this on the news today that it's not working?
They're still saying that they're running tests on the cap. The capping was supposed to occur a couple of days ago, so it sounds like they're having problems.
Yes. Well, because human creators want some of that oil. They ready for some more of that Texas tea. They don't have a guff full. And there's great SPF in that oil. So when you go to the beach, just get in that water and get coated up, and then you won't get a sun blister. It'll be great. It'll be fun. You'll have your oil. It's a great tanning thing. You'll be lubricated. Your dermis will have a nice coating of all those. That viscosity will be oozing on your skin. It's good. You won't be ashy. You'll be good and greased up. It's great. It's great to get in a tight spot.
So, absolutely. Ion, what words are people saying to themselves, the ones who no longer want the oil to be spilling?
Well, they didn't want it to go this way, but now they're finding out that they're marvelous human creators and their words have power. And they might notice that they might better curtail this habit of things showing up that they don't want. But you can't run around saying, I want a haircut, I want a haircut, I want a haircut, I want a haircut, I want a haircut. Finally, your hair will just fall out.
Right.
So what are the words that are being said by people who are stopping the oil?
Is it stopped?
No, well, that was a good question, Karen. You led him right into it. Yeah, at least you got an answer, definite answer there. So nobody is saying the correct words.
Yeah, I'm trying to use some reverse psychology on Ion to get us to give us some words.
No, with Ion, since Ion is everybody, since Ion is everything and everything and all one, it's reverse sociology, reverse anthropology.
No, reverse engineering.
You get my joke? I'm emphasizing the collective. You get
into a gastroeconomic disaster, yes.
Yeah. You getting my joke here? I'm telling you, refer to the collective. Psychology is individual, right? Reverse anthropology.
I'm trying to tell you something.
Hey, okay, so Taze. Go ahead,
no,
Carolyn.
It ain't working, and sorry, you want more oil, and here it comes.
This is one thing I don't think James is going to be, when he has to calm people down and get them off the topic of Mel Gibson, you know, when they're calling James, the local talk, and wherever James meets these people, James doesn't say, you know what, we just got to lay off worrying about this oil spill. There's no problem there. There's no way I can hear James saying that to anybody. Right, James? Right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
This is one topic or approach I was taking. We ain't spreading, or we're not supporting, or what? I mean, or no, we're just not. We're keeping it secret.
Yes, and you're still the one that's got a Gulf of Mexico full of oil. So good luck with that.
That's pretty radical, Mister. Pretty radical, Ion. That you're telling everybody just to enjoy the oil.
11. And of the 11 people listening to your show, one of them had to come back and say, sorry, we didn't mean 20,000 gallons. We meant 60,000 barrels, which is what we said 30 minutes after the thing blew.
That's right.
They had to straighten that
up. Okay, so we got
one of your 11 listeners.
Exactly. Taze in Michigan. Go ahead. You're live on the air with Ion.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Hello,
hey,
Taze.
Darling.
Good?
We're good. We're back.
We are. How's that? I just wanted the way that I use reciprocity is just a mutual exchange and an exchange
right.
Whatever.
If it's a mutual exchange out of a exactly. And if that's out of your abundance, then it wouldn't be. You wouldn't have to have reciprocity. It would just be. I have a ton of squash. I would like to share some with you. Because mine is pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. But if reciprocity means the way you're using it, which is not a problem, but if reciprocity becomes a means of exchange, then it's okay, but then you're gauging your power rather than authority over a creation in exchange for something else. So if it's just, I got some extra squash, would you like some? Yes, honey, I would. I really love your squash. They're so delicious. Hey, my pears are coming in. Well, I've got more than I can use. Would you enjoy some of my pears? Yes, Jake just loves those big old juicy pears. He thinks they're wonderful. Okay, if that's the case, then wonderful. But if it becomes reciprocal, well, that last squash you gave me was a little big, and it wasn't so good, so I think I'm going to have to find something else to do with my pears because I'm a marvelous, powerful creator, and your mutual reciprocity is leaving a little less than I desired. Then, you see, it becomes a bit problematic. But when you're talking about giving out of your abundance and sharing out of your abundance, reciprocity leaves the conversation.
And so in those terms that you just stated, reciprocity as far as activating some kind of a giving and a receiving if it comes back, I mean, paying it forward, all of those terms that are floating around these days, does that line up okay?
Right.
I mean, and it goes back to the verse in Luke. I don't know the name, but pressed down and...
Shaking together, overflowing, yes, abundance.
Right.
But the ones that he was saying that to was the most disconnected one of all. It's the ones who didn't have two nickels to rub together, a pot to pee in, or a window to throw it out of. Isn't it interesting that that's where reciprocity would come up to say, in your abundance, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing, this manifest bliss that I'm talking about can be yours. He was telling us the ones that didn't even know how they was going to eat that day.
Interesting. And so then mutual is just something experienced by me and two or more other people, much like the mutual experience that J.W., Carolyn, and Bob experienced. That's their experience. It's a
correct.
Mutual experience, correct?
Correct. It is mutual. Well, Bob gets more than anybody, and Bob gets less than anybody. Bob is always the one outside of the picture. Carolyn, what are we talking about? I'm asking all these questions, and I'm getting answers. What was my question again? Bob, it was, and then she, oh yeah. No. Now I remember what I didn't know. Yeah, that's what it was. And so that balance, if you want to go all the way through Luke, then you'll go to, Luke 12, and you'll start picking up the parable of the faithful servant. It's also recanted in Matthew 24 and then 45, Matthew 24 verses 45 through 51. And then they start talking about the cost of discipline. Okay, and so you got to kind of know what you're getting into when you take on as big a chaw of tobacco as Bob has, because Bob knows that balance of the place that he is creating is the very essence that will release this power that the human creators are ready to give up their testicles to gain. But see, when they're willing to give up their reciprocity. If they got the nuts to do it. Okay, then that's about authority. It's no longer about power. And there you go. There goes the lesson.
Very good. Well, thanks for picking up on our fight.
Wonderful. Good. Yes, darling, and we knew you'd get there because when you said mutual reciprocity, we thought, oh, this is a good one. It's a good old big one or a big old good one. We didn't know which.
That's interesting sound effects.
In her travels, Tina comes and goes.
What was her last words?
I could, you know, are you guys still connected on the air? Well, now she's gone off the air.
We are.
We're here.
Okay.
Right. Inside of you.
Well, maybe she could type in the last words. Okay, James, let's go on to the next question. Thank you,
okay.
TJ.
Yeah, thank you for that, TJ. Location is Narnia. Can Ion explain the great east-west gold to silver ratio and its effect on world history?
Well, it's a ratio.
That's a big question.
Bob, come on, clean that up a little bit. Are you still beating your wife? Clean that up a little bit. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I think it came up. I've heard this before. We did it privately, or maybe it was on something that's public. You said that the Chinese emphasized silver and the West emphasized gold because of the mines. The silver mines were closer to the Chinese.
Yes, correct.
That's the only reason.
And what's the question?
Can I explain the great east-west gold-to-silver ratio and its effect on world history?
Effects of world history. Okay, here we go. China owns the United States of America, all the warranty deeds. They hold them. So if they want the U.S., the Red Dragon, we're giving away Revelation again. We want the Americans to have all the gold. So now they don't have to pay to store it. They don't have to hang around Depot Street to see who's depositing and who's withdrawing. 121 Depot Street in New York City, New York, blah, blah, blah. A few blocks up from Battery Park on the left, up the hill, toward past Trinity Church on that side here at the wall. Never mind. We digress. So in that place, they don't have to keep up with it. They don't have to pay to store it. They don't have to polish it. They don't have to dust it. They don't have to count it. They don't have to look after it. They can happily leave their silver in the mine. In the mine. Is that mined? It would be mined silver. So they can very easily have control of that natural wonderful resource called AU gold, especially when you get to the isotope 197. That might come in interesting in those days to come. Pretty cool conductivity, as it were. So they don't even have to look after it. It's like having a really great rental house where somebody else has to pay the bills and look after everything and take care of it. All you do is walk in and enjoy the view. And then when you're done, lock the door and call it a day.
Okay, in that sentence, you're saying that's why the Chinese let us handle the gold. Is that what you basically...
Yeah,
I got
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And so what do they do with silver?
They just use it.
Okay. Joe,
very malleable.
Yeah. Hey, what's Narnia? That's a book, a children's book, or J.R. Tolkien kind of book, Narnia?
Yeah, Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, okay. And it's been a movie, right, James?
Yeah, it has. Yep, that's right.
So what fantasy
days before it was a movie, Bob?
Hey, why would TJ say he's from Narnia? What fantasy or what projection is he or she making?
It's just he knows where he is, and he told you, so that's all.
Okay, well, TJ, could you give a definition of Narnia as it applies to you and why you're saying you are there? Just email us.
And don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't have to tell him how you got there through the wardrobe. And don't tell PETA that you have to have fur coats because it's kind of cold there, so it's okay. Although Los Angeles is nice and warm, but play with it. It's all fun.
You're talking to friends of TJ? Talking both friends of TJ?
We're talking to TJ.
Oh, okay. Joe in Los Angeles says, hello all, great show. Speaking of the Bible, who or what is Jehovah?
Jehovah, Yahweh, the representation of God on the earth, you. That's why the Jews said, don't even use that name, 126. They said, don't use the name of God, because that's you. Don't talk about yourself.
Interesting.
Jehovah, the Rose of Sharon.
Yeah, so Joe says, as an ex-Jehovah's Witness, I'd like to kick this jerk's ass. Meaning Jehovah.
Wow, you made it out alive, yeah. Joe. Oh, my God. Whoa.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah.
I'd like to kick this. There's a couple of words we can't say, basically. I guess we can't say this jerk's ass. Now, you would say the correct term to be kicking himself.
No, he's talking about the dogma that's attached that put people in bondage, the dogma of Jehovah's Witnessy that puts you into bondage instead of bringing you into your place of power. Now, Carolyn talks about cults and this, that, and the other, and we watch our group and our loving and engaging of folks. But the whole point, when they say cult to us, we say, yay, it's called cultivation. Cultivation, put sowing and reaping. That's what it's all about. You put a seed in the ground, it dies. It now springs to life eternal, as it is eternal, and it bears much fruit. You put one seed in the ground, you don't get one seed back. Now, there you go, mutual reciprocity, TJ. You put one seed in the ground, and you may get 10,000 seeds. Okay? So when you start talking about that way, you really can't even balance it from a reciprocity position. So Be easy. The contrast that Jehovah's Witness gave you, Joe, is what got you into the notion that you considered your place of power. They told you what it felt like, and you felt it, and it didn't feel right to you. And that contrast is no different than you getting up to go pee and stumping your big toe. That pain or contrast, it's called, is not a bad thing. It lets you know you have a big toe. You can get neuropathy to such a point that you don't feel that contrast, and you knock your big toe slap off. Get gangrene and they'll saw it off at the knee. So don't push against it. Embrace it. Praise Jehovah's Witness. They've got you in a position where now you have no choice. Every other option is gone, but you come into your place of power. Send them a check. Give them a money check. Thank y'all. If it wasn't for y'all, I'd still be lost in your dogma. Oh, I'm so happy. Now I know who I am in God. I've finally come into my place where I know who I am, and it ain't up to you. And I'm going to leave you and what you think about me completely slap out of my conversation. And, oh, yes, and then I'm going to have a birthday party, too. And I'm going to celebrate all that is. And if it's joyful to me, that's going to be the essence of my creation. That's what I'm going to be about all day, every day. And if you get so busy, Joe, please, and enlighten yourself, you damn sure ain't going to have time to be poking at the Jehovah's Witnesses. Bring them in. Show them your power. Say, come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. I'll show you. I won't tell you. I'll show you. It's easy that way. Then they'll scratch their head or their butt because one will be itching and going, holy crap, what have we got into here? Oh, well, that goes against the scriptures. Oh, it's a heresy. Oh, it's a heresy. Get the cross. Crucify him. He can't be talking this. He's talking smack about God. We ain't having this. No. We don't know who God is, but you sure don't. And we don't know but we don't know. You can't know because we're the authorities. We got all the authority. We don't have any power. We sure do wish we did because you've got lots of power and you don't care about authority. Uh-oh. Well, we're not going to have this. So call the Sanhedrin. Call the Sanhedrin. Line them up. And Pilate, tell us what we're going to do with this. This is a heresy. It's an abomination. Oh, pardon the pun. Crucifying. Well, hey, Sanhedrin, it's your boy. Why don't you handle it? No, we don't get our hands dirty. We busy. We just had a mani. We just had a real nice mani-pedi with the salt scrub, and we just do not get involved. So you take care of it. And Pilate says, well, fine, okay, do with him what you will. And then Pilate nervously washed his hands from the blood that just wouldn't go away. And there you go. So get happy with them Jehovah Witnesses. God bless them, everyone. They're marvelous, powerful creators. And you want them to have as much power as you now have. And you got no better person to have gratitude and appreciation regarding them because they've got you to this edge. Knowledge. Knowledge. You don't think anymore. You know. And they're the only ones that pushed you up to the edge, so you had to decide to either defecate or get off the pot. So nothing but praise be to Jehovah Witnesses. We think it's wonderful.
Okay.
All right, now that's shredding. While. Really good. I love that.
That's shredding. You're great shredding. Okay, JJ says, referring to our Ionic forum for people who've had readings with Ion, Googlebot was on the Resonant Node forum just the other day for about 5 minutes. What is Googlebot, Ion? Who's the person coming in is able to get in without following the protocols?
Yeah, who is that?
Oh, you mean like us?
Yeah, like you. Yeah, like you.
We've never been invited to your Dukes of Hazzard, Bob.
No, but you did. No. You weren't invited, but you asked, which I didn't expect. You asked, and I said, sure, come on in.
Mm-hmm.
But who is Googlebot? Is this one of the Queen's people?
Keep going. We ain't answering it that way. So
is it one of the? Is it an intern for Obama?
No. It's just the surveillance that's taking a look at these vast. Maybe they were trying to figure out how to work YouTube, so they got onto your Dukes of Hazzard so they could find out what all this YouTube business was about.
You mean what we were talking about, saying there were YouTubes on our site?
Yeah, and if they didn't know, they could go there and find out everything they ever wanted to know about YouTube.
Well, how did they get in?
Well, see, you said how, degree of separation, how. You just made these bastard babies. You just go ahead and give the five bodies right now. Who are the five bodies that you created? And then you talk about this chip body. All right, this chip body. And what we're saying is this power is flowing. And the power is flowing, which even allows us non-physical who doesn't create to play with the chip body. And so, therefore, it's no odd, nothing odd, strange, or even surreptitious that chip body would allow entrance or gain interest from a marvelous, powerful creator that's wanting to see what's going on. And, yes, we got the message, Tina, earlier. Sorry we couldn't get you.
Oh, okay, Ion. Who is this Googlebot? Is it from our world or from a parallel world? Who's this Googlebot?
You're asking a better question, but you're not there yet. Keep going.
Well, if I just say who it is, I'll ask you who it is.
You ain't going to get nothing.
Well, where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Where?
Is it Tiger Woods? Is it somebody down the street? Is it a parallel worlder?
Is it Lady Gaga?
It's those interested in this position of power that's being displayed in your resonant node, Dukes of Non-Physical.
Right. Well, how do they just can get in there? They know our site is like James says, everything's hackable. Then it's understandable. Anybody can hack in if they make the effort.
Sure. Sure.
Okay, we only got 40 seconds, but the question may... Maria in Asturias, Spain says, hi, guys, Ion, please, who is living in Fiendship Island in Chile? Do you know them?
Yes.
What is that about?
Fiendship Island?
Yeah.
Hang on with that. Hold that thought. We'll be back right after this, everybody. Fiendship, where is that, everybody? Hang on. We'll be back right after. Hang on.
I've seen the death on television. Human mortal, child by time, separation is divine. Here's a strike beneath your knees. They all want to love the cause, 'cause they all need to be the cause.
Powerhits.com.
Hello, everybody. This is James Martinez from The Cashflow Show. The great poet Robert Frost once said, quote, "A bank is a place where they lend you an umbrella in fair weather and ask for it back when it begins to rain," end quote. I'd like to show you how you can take back your power and your financial freedom. You may be already aware of your inherent need to create your own financial future rather than someone else deciding for you. In the days ahead, you'll be faced with more and more financial duress unless you take action and take your power back. If you've been faced with substantial alleged credit card debt or foreclosure, call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. You may begin to know that it's time. Time to begin to imagine a life where you know your true value isn't working for a bank, rather making your bank work for you. Invoke your desires and make it so. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655.
Hello, this is Paul McNeese of OPA Author Services. For a long time, I've believed that every author should be a speaker and every speaker should write.